afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Are you the only one on?
I think so. I've been hearing music. I was a minute after, not after the hour. I'm not sure.
Hi, Angela.
Good afternoon.
Has joined.
Good afternoon.
So is everybody preparing for the potential storm that's just still drawing water out of the Gulf?
I'm just praying the others is not coming to us. But our grandchildren, it's great.
You're breaking up, so that I understand. You're praying
family that area, and I think it's you're going to get rain yourself.
I agree, but it's not going to be till Friday or Saturday. We're just going to have to wait to see if it's this year or next year. Please join me in saying the Anapakoa.
Okay, put a mute.
Anapakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Ati Serra, Malapet Gimel, Gedaksabi. Tabel Rina Amcha Sagrenu Baharenu Nora Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudha Yevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yudkashin. Barhem Taharim Rahame Sitatha Tami Gamlem. Betetresh Saditaf Gimel. Lasin Kadosh Bero Tuka Nael Adata. Het Kufet Tet Nunayan. Yahid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kidu Shata Yud Gimelamet Hezayan Ku Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Tzadiyuta. In the eighth verse of the Anapakoa, we say in a whisper. Our handout today is available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's in row 6, the third column from the left. It's the list of parashas, the essence of the parashas. When you click on that link, it opens up to a landing page. And at the bottom of the page, it has the Sefer Yehoshua, the book of Joshua. And today's class is for chapter 15. When that opens up, click the link to get to the Mechon Mamre webpage. And then you'll need to scroll down to chapter 15 of Sefer Joshua, Sefer Yehoshua. And we will begin with Pasuk 37. We're going to start with Olashem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Tei Yehuda l'shem Yudhei Bavate, the Yehuda Shalim b'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasehi Adeinu Kononei Aleinu Maasehi Adeinu Kononeihu. These are names of people, but they're also names of locations, they're names of cities. It's very confusing, but it's really, we need to analyze all of the words and what is the energy of those words. And with the upcoming holidays and everything else that I'm doing, I don't have time to really do the analyzation on all of these names. But we're going to read them and try and understand some of them that just kind of pops out at me. So the one that pops out of me in this verse is Vachadasha. Because it's really, the letters can be rearranged to be spelling Kadosh. If you substitute a kuf for the chet, which can be done in the different permutations or substitutions of the various letters. Kadosh means holiness. Kadasha is a concealment of that holiness. Verse 38. Udi lan v'chamitz pa'eh yachtel. There's really nothing that pops out.
Go ahead. I think Mizpah may be, like years ago, you would see a heart in jewelry and it would be broken in two. And people would say that it meant while we are apart one from another. I think when... I can't remember which two Bible. Maybe it was Jacob and Levon when they separated.
Okay. Is that the word mitzvah?
Well, it was pronounced in that day. That was like 25 years ago. Mizpah rather than the peh. The vowel
okay.
Would be a bit different, but the consonants you'd get another meaning. So.
I mispronounced it when I was reading it just now. I pronounced it mitzvah. So, there is a connection there. So, And I was about to say, just looking at the words, the last two letters spell the word peh, which is the mouth. Peh. And while it doesn't have the resh in the word, the direct translation of mem translates as from, like I'm from Los Angeles, and the tzaddik. So the mouth from the tzaddikim is really what's being expressed in this word.
Right. That sounds good. Okay, I'm going to mute again.
Okay.
So many people that come in and out, it's really hard to follow. And I don't want you to have noise.
Well, the noise won't bother me, but I understand a lot of stuff is going on in that area. A lot of people are coming to terms with whatever the cleansing represents, so. Verse 39. Lachish uvatzkat v'eglon. Well, the word, the last word, the eglon, has the word egel, which that's the word that when we translate as the golden calf, it's the word egla or eglo. I don't remember exactly the ending of it, but that is a connection to the golden calf. Verse 40. Go ahead, Tana.
Lachish, on one of our trips to Israel, that was a battle site. And it was up on a hill. I didn't try to climb it. I went down in the valley because it was a valley underneath, you know, down at the bottom part of the hill. Were vineyards and pomegranates, and I wanted to see the pomegranates, you know, in reality growing from the trees, and so I didn't go up. They were going up to see if they could find artifacts of something in the grass or whatever, you know, but I was more interested in the fruit and the trees and the way that the pomegranate looked from the bottom, because at the time we were being told that it was only pomegranates from Israel that had the shape of the Star of David, which was true at that time, because when we had very few pomegranates in the grocery store at that time, it had, that had to be 1993. Our pomegranates did not have the shape of the Star of David, but the ones in that valley did have the shape. So it proved my point. In fact, I even took a picture of that time. So I don't know if that means anything, but Lachish was a battlefield, I think having to do with the Philistines, but I'm not sure.
It would have been the Philistines, but if you look at the letters, the last two letters, Yud and Shin, spell Yesh. Yesh translates as there is.
Right.
The Kaf is the Hebrew word for palm, the palm of your hand, and the Lamed is teaching. There is a teaching for the hand, for the palm.
Mm-hmm.
And that would relate to war, because the hands are were the tools of war.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to mute again.
Okay, you're going to be in and out, I can tell. Baruch Hashem. B'kabon b'lachmas b'kitli. Well, this middle word, lachmas, it's spelling the word hamas. And hamas is a Hebrew word meaning destruction. It's also the name of an enemy organization that's living in the Philistine grounds, which is the Gaza Strip. And it's basically, the word would be translated as teach Thomas, teach destruction, God forbid. Verse 41. Ugdei wrote, Beit Dagon b'na'ama u'makeda arim shesh esrei b'chatzrehen. And Gidurot, Bet Dagon, and Naama, and Makeda, 16 cities with their villages. There are 9 words in this verse, which I find interesting. There's 4 villages. And if we count back, we would probably connect to the number 16. The number 16 connects to the male energy of Hashem's name, the Yud and the Vav.
Beth Dagon, we could say House of the Fish. You remember the fish god?
Yes.
And I think Gederot, well, it's Gederot there, but in the Christian Bible, the Gederot was a place where there were people that were demon-possessed.
Well, the phrase Beit Dagon is referring to the god Dagon, which was the god of the Philistines. Mm-hmm. And that's where Samuel was. He destroyed the city, destroyed the temple of Dagon, because mm-hmm. they tied him to pillars, and by the time his hair grew out and he regained his strength, he pulled it down upon them and him.
Well, that particular idol was, it looked like a man's body, but he had a fish head. And the Babylon Revealed or something, it has that picture of, and they called him the fish god. So.
That was the god of the Philistine faction.
Right. Would Naama be kin to Pleasant, the Naomi?
It's not, because what it represents, the word Ayin Mem represents peoples or a
okay.
nation, and the Nun is falling, so it represents a falling nation. That's the way I would interpret it.
Okay. That's good.
There are 40 letters along with the 9 words. And the number 40 connects to Chesed. So there is a positivity in this verse, even though it's difficult to recognize.
Well, you brought that point out with 40. I didn't get to read the whole thing, but just in the process of skimming through my emails, your last weekly commentary dealt a lot with 40.
As you know, 40 is very significant throughout
right.
the Bible.
Right.
So we're moving to a next section of the land. Leave now we atar be ashan. The first word, Livna, I would connect to a falling heart. It also connected to the word, the Lev, being the heart. And then instead of Nun Hey, if you make it Nun Aleph, because the Aleph can substitute for the Hey, it becomes please. Na is the word please. So the heart pleases, or pleasing the heart. Verse 43. It's interesting to note that in this verse, all three words are connected by the vavs. Whereas in the other words, you don't really have a vav in all three. So I know that's significant, but I'm not sure what the significance is. And in verse 43, you have that same thing. Vayiftach v'yashna unsiv. And in verse 44, the city names are also connected by the Vav. So we have nine cities being connected together by the Vavs. And there are essentially going to be nine cities of refuge. So I wouldn't bet on it, but my intuition is telling me that these are the names of the cities of refuge. Let me read verse 44. Ukila v'achziv u'maresha arim tesha v'chatzrehen. And Kila and Achziv and Marasha, nine cities with their villages. Now, would you understand the concept of there's a city and a village? The villages are connected to the cities. That's indicated, it's like a suburb. Do you think that in the biblical times there were suburbs like there are in the modern world? Verse 45. Ekron uvnotecha v'chatzerecha. Ekron and its towns and its villages. But we now... Look at the difference between the last word in verse 44, which is being translated as villages, and the last word in verse 45, which is being translated as villages. There's a missing nun. So, are both words... the same, they are the same except for that last nun. And that last nun makes the word a vowel, a noun. So what is a village that isn't a noun? When you think about it, you have verbs, you have nouns, and you have other components of sentences. Prepositions is one, you know, as you think about the different components, what is the meaning of a verb? Now, I don't think it's a verb in verse 45, but it's missing that nun, and that's a significant change. Was it dropped so that the number of letters would be correct? Well, there's 17 letters in verse 45. If the nun was added, then it would be 18, which represents life. 17 represents good. These are just hints. We're not sure what it's really saying without really analyzing each of the names. Verse 46. Me'echron v'yama kol asher ayad yashdod v'chatzrehen. from Ekron even to the sea, all that were by the side of Ashod with their villages. Ashod is even a name of a city in Israel in the modern state today. And the letters Aleph Shin is a fire, and the Dod is connected through David. The Dod means uncle, but it means a comforting letter, relative. So Ashod represents the comfort of fire, the comfort of passion. Or maybe the other way around, it's passion that is comforting. Now, the English translation is saying that it's by the side of Ashod. But the Hebrew words that precede Ashod is al-yad, all representing all, everything, but everything by the hand of the fire of comfort. It's being translated as the side because they don't understand how do you translate hand being next to a city or part of a city. So they have to try and relate to the essence of what is a hand. What is this meaning of al-yad? But that's why it's really important when you translate Hebrew that you don't accept the English translation, but you strive to understand each word on its own by yourself. And then you can put them back together into a sentence that is more literal. And while the Torah, we're taught that the Torah it's incorrect to leave the Torah translated literally, it is one of the ways of helping us understand the meaning of the verse. And again, you have the word for villages, the last word in the verse, with the Nun has returned. Verse 47. Ashdod benoteha, v'hatzereha. Aza benoteha, v'hatzereha. Ad nachal mitraim, v'hayam ha-gadol. U-gvul. And its towns and its villages, Gaza, its towns and its villages, unto the brook of Egypt, the great sea being the border thereof. Please notice that it's written in the Torah as Gadol, so the translation of the great is, or the big sea is correct, but it's look at the difference between the way it's written and the way it's said. The Dalet is exchanged for the Bet, which is a very much a, they both come from the same parts of the mouth. So it's part of the trend of this letter substitution system. But what is the meaning of Ugbul versus Hagadol?
No.
Yes.
A comment. Ashdod and Gaza are very much in the news today.
That's for sure.
No.
It's very much the Gaza Strip. It's also, which is, was originally the land of the Philistines. And what is the government agency that's in control of Gaza that they took control when the Israelis departed from that area after a number of years and people setting up, building livelihoods and building businesses and farms, and in the late 90s, it was about 10, 12 years ago that they withdrew from that area and just handed it back to the Philistines, which are the Palestinians today.
And I remember the time it was when Katrina hit New Orleans. So it was 15 years ago. About a month ago would have been 15 years.
Yeah. So
because Rita hit us a few weeks after that, 3 weeks after. So it was 15 years ago.
Understand. It's amazing, isn't it? There are 12 words connecting to the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm counting 46 letters. But I don't, the number 46 doesn't pop into my mind with the meaning. So we'll move on to verse 48. Uvachar shamir v'atir v'shoko. And in the hill country, Shamir, Jatir, and Soko. Well, right off the top, the first word, Uvahar, is being translated in the hill country. But it's the mountain country. And it's not in the country, it's on the mountains. Because are you really talking about being in the mountains? Do people speak about being in the mountains or on the mountains? It can be in the mountains, because if there's a series of hills and mountains, that people can say you can be in that area. But my thinking is it's more significant to be on the mountain, because the mountains is a code word for the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But of course, the translation would never be bringing in that concept. Verse 49. Vidana Vikiryat Sana Hi Devar. And Dana, which is connected to Din, which is judgment. And Kiryat Sana. And the same is Debir. So it's really only talking about two locations. Kiryat Sana, I don't know the meaning of Sana, but Kiryat is four, the number four. And the word he is essentially making a connection that the name Sana is the same as when people say Devar, which is Devir is the word Devar, meaning a thing or words, or as in Devarim, which is the plural for words. Verse 50. Vi ana veshtebo vi anim, and anab, and eshtemo, and anim. Again, we have three cities that are connected with vavs. So the first vav, when anav, is connecting it to the previous verse. Verse 51. Vagoshen v'cholon v'gilo harimachat esrei v'chatzrehen. And Goshen and Holon and Gilo, 11 cities with their villages. Again, the cities and the villages. And the word for village is at the last word in the verse, and it has the nun. So it needs to be, my opinion right now is that it's talking about a suburb of a city. And Goshen is a well-known word dealing with the lands of the Philistine. The Gaza Strip is also, there's an area within the modern state called Goshen. And Halon, which is the second word, Halon is the word for dream. Verse 52. Aravirum avieshan. There's 13 letters in these three words, which is a unification connection. Verse 53. Vayanum vuvetapua viapeka. Beit Tapuah is the house of apples. And look at the difference between the way the first word is written and the first word is spoken. It's written with a second yud, but it's spoken with a vav in that location. The way it's written, the last two words, yam, is a feminine plural, but it also means the sea. If we look at the gematria of the first three letters, it's 66. If we add a kolel to the number 66, it becomes 67, which is the gematria of Bina. And the Sea of Bina, the Sea of Understanding, refers to the Torah. And that's in my opinion, why the yud is there and why the word is written differently than it's spoken. Verse 54. Bechumta the Kiryat Arba, Ki Hebron the Tzior Arim, Teisha v'Hatzrechen. And Chumta in Kiryat Arba, the same is Hebron and Tzior, nine cities with their villages. The word villages has the nun. So I'm getting the sense that when it says cities with their villages, it's referring to the areas around the city. So it really is the idea of a suburb and the communities that are associated with the suburbs relating to the city. The city is the hub and the suburbs. The people living in the suburbs are working in the city, just like we do today. The same thing is applying in this description, but this is the way the Torah would describe, because they didn't have a word for suburb. It was a smaller city associated with the larger city. And that makes perfect sense to me. Verse 58. Halhu Beit Tzur v'Ugdor. Halhu Beit Tzur. I don't remember. It's a vague memory of what is the meaning of Tzur, Tzadi Vav Resh. But obviously it's referring to a house of whatever Tzur represents. It's escaping me right now. Verse 59. Umarad uveit anon ve'el tekon arim shesh v'chatzrehen. In Maharat and Bet Anot and Et El Tekon, six cities with their villages. Verse 60. Kiryat Baal, Ki Kiryat Ya'arim, Beharaba Arim Shetayim, Behatrehem. Kiryat Baal, the same as Kiryat Ya'arim, and Rabbah, two cities with their villages. Well, the word harabah means large. Kiryat Ya'arim, the word Ya'arim is refers to the city. Ya'ar is a city. But that here it's not saying two cities. It's giving it as a name. Kiryat Baal would be the four. Kiryat is four. And Baal is the name of a god. The four gods, which is the four cities. Nine. 9 words in this verse 60. And 39 letters, which connects to the word tal, meaning do. And that always relates to Mashiach. But the cities of Baal would not be connected to Mashiach in a positive way. It would mean they have to be cleansed in order for Mashiach to come. Verse 61. Bamidbar bet ha'arava midin uskaka. In the wilderness of Bet Arava, midin and sekaka. Sukkaka is cognate. It sounds a little bit like a sukkah. Midin is from judgment, din. And the house, the Beit Ha'arava, the house of four, from the words, Bamidbar, is from the desert, the house of the desert, because the comma is after Beit, but that's from an English perspective. I'm not sure that that comma is in the right location. Verse 62. Vaha nivshan v'ir ha-melach v'en gedi tarim shesh v'hatrehen. And nivshan in the city of salt in En Gedi, 6 cities with their villages. And En Gedi is a modern city name. The city of salt would be relating to the Salt Sea, which is the Dead Sea. But what is it? Is there a city there? That city used to be Sodom. That's what created the Dead Sea, was the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. These are 8 words. And 34 letters is the Hebrew word dal, dalid lamed. And dal is the word for poorness, for lack. The last verse, verse 63. V'et hayavusi yoshbe Yerushalayim. Lo yochlu yachlu b'nei Yehuda lehorisham v'yayeshev ha'yavusi et b'nei Yehuda v'Yerushalayim ad hayom hazeh. And as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Judah at Jerusalem until this day. Eighteen words, because Jerusalem does connect to life always. 77 letters, which connects to the word Oz, Ion Zion, or Zion Ion. But this word is can be translated as strength, as well as translated as a goat. You'll notice that the word Jerusalem is missing the yud in both words, both times it's mentioned. But this is not uncommon in Bible where the yud is missing from Jerusalem. No, I've never seen an explanation about it. And if you look at the last line of the Hebrew, you have it, the word is written differently than it's spoken. And the difference is the letter Vav between the Yud and the Kaf. We are out of time, and so our next class, we will be completing the reading of the section, which we've never done, and we'll also be trying to make sense of some of these words for our next week's class. Does anybody have any questions? We have two more classes today, one at 4:30, which is a Deep Zohar class, and one at 7 o'clock. These are West Coast times. In the 7 o'clock class, we'll be completing the Zohar on Rosh Hashanah that we started on Motzi Shabbat. So I wish you all a good, happy, sweet New Year. May you all be written and sealed in the Book of Life for a sweet and wonderful year. And the Talmud tells us, so a year that starts poor will lead to great wealth at the end of the year or during the year or even on Rosh Hashanah itself. But if the world, the end of this year, which is coming in to the new year, has a lack, has a poorness associated with it, and I don't think anyone would argue that the pandemic is a sense of poorness, a sense of lack. The Talmud tells us that when the year starts poor, it will end in a year of richness.
Oh, amen.
Whatever the meaning of this means, there are many different ways to understand that, as our sages explain. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.
Shalom.
Hey.